Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. We continue our sermon theme in the morning called Ecclesiastes, the Search for Meaning. Today we consider the theme of worshiping in God's house. We'll read Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And let us pay heed and pay close attention, for this is God's holy word. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen, rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know what they do wrong. And do not be quick with your mouth, do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven, and you are on earth. So let your words be few. As a dream comes when there are many cares, so the speech of a fool when there are many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vows. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. And do not let your mouth lead you into sin. And do not protest to the temple messenger, my vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God. This ends the reading of God's inspired word. Let's pause for a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Speak, O Lord, we are listening. Aid us, Jesus Christ, in our weakness. Comfort and guide us, Holy Spirit, as your word is illuminated by your power and presence. May we respect and revere you this morning in worship. May all your church to the ends of the earth fear and revere the Lord. We ask this in Christ's name. Let us say amen. Well, next time you go to the zoo, try to pay attention as to which lines are the longest. I don't know about you, but we often walk past the antelope and the deer, glancing at their gentle beauty. We might even pause to watch the games of the otters, seals, and monkeys at play. But eventually, we find ourselves drawn to the lions, the tigers, and the bears. Because it seems we crave to see creatures bigger, stronger, and grander than we, to help us remember that we're not almighty, to be humbled by knowing our place in the world. Reverence for nature is a very gratifying and satisfying thing to do. But have you noticed that awe and wonder is so rarely found in God's house of worship today? For the concerns of today's worshiping crowd is excitement, excellence, relevance. Reverence seems to be a relic from the past, reserved for funerals and ancient cathedrals. Reverence is out, relevance is in, and pity the church who neglects it. But may I suggest, dear church, that our services will shrink and our outdoor recreation grow when one finds more awe and wonder at Sleeping Bear Dunes than one finds in a Sunday service today. Reverence is the missing element from modern worship. And reverence is needed in modern life. We need it. We crave it. We need to know that we are not the end-all, be-all, that there is something greater and more transcendent than our puny selves. Now here in the book of Ecclesiastes, since chapter 1, our teacher has been complaining about all the problems in the world. We've been studying them. He's been complaining about our imminent death, about injustice in the world, about unreliable riches and fleeting friendships. And he says, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. What does a man gain from all his toil under the sun? And he's been telling us the answer all along. And the answer is nothing. Nothing. Man without God gains nothing. So if you wish to have any meaning in life, fear God and keep his commands. That alone turns vanity into sanity. Now I want you to notice that, of course, we mentioned this in the first sermon of the series, that the teacher is writing to an ancient generation very much like mine and yours that was enjoying a period of peace and prosperity within their community. As you survey the book, one can see that the people who about whom he spoke could seek meaning through many as freedoms. They could seek meaning through education or leisure, through sex or money, through power or possessions. And as long as they sought their meaning through these leisures, they ceased to approach God with fear. Worship was becoming a dry affair. The prophet Malachi would later speak of such indifferent worship habits. Instead of bringing their best, says the prophet Malachi, the people were bringing their worst. Blind, lame, sick animals to the altar. And God was cursing their blemished worship with blasé blessings. And against this background, the teacher tells us this morning to go to God's house to find meaning with reverence. And this brings us to our first point. So if you do have your bulletin, please do take notes. I think there's some challenging points that will assist you as you consider this passage. First of all, our first point this morning is mind your manners in church. Mind your manners in church. Verse 1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. My high school French teacher was a fiery redhead, and she used to say, and I remember it so vividly as a high schooler, she would say, faites attention, pay attention, and boy did we when she said it in her notable voice. Well, our sacred teacher this morning is telling us the same thing. He is saying, pay attention in church. For you are now in the house of God. We're not just going for a stroll this morning. We're not dropping by a neighbor's house. We are not passing the hour with a mere friend. We are going to the place where God Almighty stoops to meet with his people. We should guard our steps. You see, there is a right way to enter the courts of thanksgiving and a wrong way to enter those gates of praise. Think back with me for a moment, all those times that you carelessly entered a church service. And then think back to Moses meeting God at the burning bush and compare the two. And then in your heart, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place you are on is holy. Like my fiery French teacher, our sacred teacher is getting our attention. Pay attention. And the first way to mind your manners in church, says our teacher, is this. And please get this. Listen more, talk less. Listen more, talk less. Verse 1 continues. It says, "Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong." Have you ever heard this old poem? A wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like that wise old bird? So often we come to church and we focus on monopolizing. We focus on dominating. We focus on taking over. And we miss the golden opportunity to listen. Listen more, talk less, and you will gain fresh insight. Listen more, talk less, and you will learn something new. Listen more, talk less, and you will see results. It may take practice. It may take hard work. It may take breaking an old bad habit, but be an active listener. It will help you examine, change, and improve all to the glory of God. Think of all the times that God said it to Israel. He said, "Hear, O Israel." Jesus tells us again and again, "He who has ears, let him hear." Paul writes, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And James records, "Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak." You and I should come to God's house, minding our manners and listening. Listen to the scripture when it's read. Come with your ears wide open. Listen to the sermon being preached. It's a lamp and a light to your path. Listen to your teacher, your Bible study leader. Listen to wise words from one another. We should come to God's house minding our manners, first of all, to listen. Now, the second point he mentions about reverent worship deals with the topic of prayer. Here's the second point. Please write it down. Pray genuine prayers. Pray genuine prayers. Our second point, verse 2, he says, "Do not be quick with your mouth, do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God." Have you ever snapped out of it in church? Right? Have that moment, "Oh yeah, I'm here. Huh. Wow, where'd you all come from?" And you found yourself mindlessly singing. Or you found yourself carelessly confessing. Or you find yourself prayerlessly praying. That's right. Do you know that you can prayerlessly pray in church? You may close your eyes because everybody else is doing it. It's what you're supposed to do. You may say the Lord's Prayer because everyone's doing it and you need to fit in. You may be even leading the prayer, but you do it because you were asked. All without genuine prayer. Well, prayerless prayers are rash prayers. We say some words to get it done. We spice them up to make it look right. But prayerless prayers are not genuine prayers. They will hardly bring meaning and reverence. I would challenge you, dear church, every time you come to God's house, try to pray at least one genuine prayer. Verse 2 tells us why. It says, "Since God is in heaven and you are on earth, then let your words be few." A few simple words in a single prayer in church. Verse 2 will help you pray. Why? It tells us this. God is in heaven. He can see what you need. So pray short and sincerely. God is in heaven. He sees the whole world. Our prayers need not educate God. God is in heaven. He doesn't need you. So don't try to impress him with words. Pray genuine prayers. But the verse goes on and talks about you. It says, you are on earth. That means you're under duress. A simple help, Lord, will do. You are on earth. You are covered with sin. Forgive me is a good place to start. Jesus adds in the New Testament that your words can be few because you can call him Father in heaven. And your Father knows, says Jesus, what you need before you ask. So only pray genuine prayers. Do you speak from your heart when you pray? Do you speak from your heart when following a prayer? Are the words that you are saying really your opinion in the matter? Are you flattering to impress when you pray? Genuine prayer in God's house of prayer brings awe and wonder and reverence. The third point about reverent worship, mentioned by our teacher, deals with the words that you say in church. The words you say in church. And our third point is this: God's people, keep your vows. Keep your vows. Look at verse 4. He writes, when you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. Now, religious vows are a part of worship. We do them from time to time in church. We make a promise with God as our witness, with holy reverence and fear. And our motive is love and faith and duty, showing thanks for God's mercy. But above all, we make vows mostly because they are warranted by God's word. Psalm 50, verse 14 says these words, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. Psalm 65, verse 1 says, praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. The point of the teacher is very simple. If you make a vow, keep it. When we get married in church, we promise before God to live until death do us part. God's people, keep your vows. When our kids are baptized, we promise to raise them in the fear and instruction of the Lord. God's people, keep your vows. When we receive new members, we promise to receive and serve them in Christian love. God's people, keep your vows. When we ordain and install new church leaders, we promise to encourage and assist them in their labors. God's people, keep your vows. Now, I know it's easy to say vows, especially in the thrill of the moment when your bride is all dressed in white, when the baby coos so cutely at the baptismal font, when a fresh family enters the doors of the church, when promising young leaders have hands laid upon them. But that's no time, dear church, to play games with God. Be a man or woman of your word. If you make a vow, keep your vow. Otherwise, says the writer, don't make it at all. It ends in disaster, says our writer. Ananias and Sapphira is one. They made a vow that they would give money to those who were in need in the early church. But quietly, they put part of the sale, maybe having second thoughts, and they put it back in their pocket. The scripture said that they lied to God. They suffered by death, and fear seized the church. God's people, keep your vows. When you make a vow, pray a genuine prayer that you would be able to keep it. When you break your vow, remember God is in heaven, so ask him forgiveness right away. When you hear people, other people, make their vows to God, take time to remember your own. When you repeat a vow that you have made before, remember your older vows too. Reverent worship for the glory of God seeks to keep our vows. You know, in the earthly ministry, in his earthly ministry, Jesus urged reverent worship as well, because he did it. When he found the temple turned into a market, he drove out the merchants and money changers. Church, he said, should always be called a house of prayer, not of robbers. And when we pray in that house of prayer, Jesus too urges few words. He says, when you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Breaking vows angered Jesus too. Remember, he called the Pharisees hypocrites and blind guides. They would swear their vows by earth or by heaven, or swear by the gold of the sanctuary, so they could break their vows and make their yes mean no. And like the teacher in Ecclesiastes, Jesus commands all of us to fear the Lord. The way he said it in Matthew's gospel, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Dear church, reverence may be out and relevance may be in, but not so in the eyes of Christ. Life is vain, pleasures meaningless, unless you enter God's house with respect. May God grant grace that we, his people, enter his courts with praise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that reverence would fill your church. As Christ insisted in his earthly ministry, may he bring it about in today's ministry. Help us, O Lord, to enjoy that transcendence that comes with reverent fear, to keep our words, to watch our steps, to be mindful, to listen and talk less. Grant a spirit of reverence upon your people, that we may find deepest satisfaction in you through Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and let all God's people say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.